Today's Global IQ Minute is with John Siegenthaler. He's the primetime news anchor at Al Jazeera America. That's the new U.S. channel that provides both domestic and international news for American audiences. Our discussion focused on Al Jazeera's philosophy. We also talked about its relationship with Qatar, which at times has been controversial, and we explored John's thoughts about the state and role of the media today.
Thank you so much for joining us on Global IQ.
Jim, it's great to be with you.
I wanted to ask you, what drove Al Jazeera to enter the U.S. market in such a strong fashion a year ago? And then also, why did you join the network to be their lead anchor?
Well, I think that I don't know the answer to that question. I was chosen long before the decision was made, long before I joined the network. But because Al Jazeera has the largest, really one of the largest, if not the largest, media network in the world, I suspect that they're interested, and I know from some of the history, their interest has been to come to the United States because America is the place to be when it comes to the media. America really is a sort of world capital, and especially New York, the world capital of media. So I suspect that if they wanted to be a world-class organization and they started out to be, that they would want to come to New York, and they did.
And what about you?
Well, I really had left journalism. I had a great run at NBC News and enjoyed the work that I did, and we were able to I think, put on some great programs on NBC Nightly News on Saturday and Sunday for a long time. But when I left, I was pretty much done with the news business. I'd kind of seen some trends in journalism that were a bit disturbing, and I decided to do some media consulting and get out of the business. And then I was drawn back by a former colleague of NBC News who had gone to Al Jazeera Global and had been part of building the new Al Jazeera America network, and said, I think this is an opportunity you'll want to look at, and you don't want to pass it up. And so when she told me about the new bureaus, the 12 new bureaus, including the city of Dallas and other cities across the country that they were building, the 70 bureaus that existed around the world that we could draw the resources from, and that they wanted to do real news, fact-based, in-depth, unbiased journalism, to me, that was a dream come true, and it didn't take me long to say yes.
You know, when you look at the pie of what viewers can see now, it's getting smaller and smaller. I mean, there's so many different options. What do you think will encourage someone, to incentivize someone to watch your network, say, versus the evening news on ABC or Fox?
Well, you described it when when I spoke to your group today, and I think it's a perfect example. The networks were leading with, you know, the Ebola story, and
here we are at Ground Zero, Dallas,
Ground
Texas.
Zero, Dallas, Texas, and as if it was a city in fear. And in fact, I woke up to Good Morning America, and they said, Dallas is a city in fear. And while I'm here in Dallas, I haven't experienced it being a city of fear. Nonetheless, that's what the networks covered, and instead we decided to spend our time on the pro-democracy demonstrations in Hong Kong and the conflict with the Chinese government. There are stories that we think are big, bigger than one person who's been diagnosed with Ebola. Thousands have been diagnosed in Africa, but we don't see this one case as reason to sound the alarm, and we think there are other stories that are very, very important around the world that we need to cover. So hopefully we're providing an alternative.
A story that has to be very personal for you is the one concerning the Al Jazeera journalists that are still in prison in Egypt. Our listeners are members of the World Affairs Council all across the country. Give us the status of what's happening with Peter Gresty and the two other journalists, and what can we do to perhaps help with this?
Peter Gresty, Bar Mohammed, and Mohammed Fahmy are the three journalists. I think anyone who wants to write to the Egyptian government and say that they should release these journalists should do it, and I hope they will, because this is not just about Al Jazeera's coverage of Egypt, which Peter Grest is one of the best journalists in the country, in the world. He's covered hotspots all around the world. He's not biased. He didn't spread lies in Egypt. He told the truth. He covered the real story. And unfortunately, the government didn't like it. That happens in many countries. And as a journalist who believes in that, in fighting censorship in the United States, I believe in fighting censorship around the world in every country in the world. And, you know, when one journalist is at risk in Egypt, we're all at risk. We're all at risk when we cover stories overseas. We're all at risk when we travel overseas. It's a dangerous situation and a dangerous precedent to set. And so I hope that they're released soon, and we pray for their release soon.
You know, you've had some great successes. Just this week, it was announced that one of your network's documentaries won an Emmy. But in reality, you're only reaching about 25,000 viewers, which is barely a section at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Sometimes we reach more than that. And in fact, on our program, sometimes on a regular basis, we reach more than that. But nonetheless, it's a small audience. Some people might compare it to a Fox Business News audience.
What do you need to be financially viable, and is that important?
Well, look, when we started MSNBC, or when Fox started Fox News Network, they were in very few homes. We're in half the homes of CNN, Fox, MSNBC now. At the beginning, it took them several years to build an audience at MSNBC and Fox. I mean, people have to learn about us. It takes time. We're in it for the long haul. Nowadays, it's much more difficult because you're expected right away to succeed. You know, fortunately, we have the resources to continue and to let people see the product. And I think when they see the product, more people will come. But when we have big events or we have news that's important, we find that more and more people are finding us. When the president makes his speech about taking military action against ISIS or ISIL, when the president makes a State of the Union, when the UN General Assembly is meeting and we're covering stories there, we found that people come to us. When there's a crisis in Ukraine, that people are coming to us. So as we spread the word to your audience, which is a natural audience for us, we believe, hopefully they will try to find us. And I mean, we're walking baby steps right now. We're in it for the long haul. We're moving forward.
Let me ask you this as our last question, because time's running out. You had such a distinguished career with NBC. And one of the questions that a number of people asked me when they first heard about this program that we were going to present to our members here in Dallas was, who really controls Al Jazeera America? Who has editorial say? Because you really have a relatively small shareholder base, the government of Qatar.
Well, we are funded by the government of Qatar. We're not owned. And that's a distinction maybe without a difference. I'm not sure. The bottom line is, when I came to Al Jazeera America, first of all, I was coming back to journalism. And there was one thing that I asked primarily, and that was, do I have editorial control? Will there be any interference from anyone, from the government of Qatar? And the answer was no. And I believe them, and I can tell you throughout this year, we have had no interference. I've had complete editorial independence, and I plan to have complete editorial independence for a long time, otherwise I wouldn't be here.
On the East Coast, what time can we watch your show?
On the East Coast, we are at 8 and 11 Eastern, yeah. And we encourage people to watch us. And we think that if they watch us, they'll like it.
Well, clearly the 40,000 members of the World Affairs Council should be in your audience.
We would be honored to have them watch, those that haven't watched us before, and hope that those who have will continue.
Thanks so much for being
Jim,
with
thank
us.
Jim, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.